Everything's intense right now for me. You know, and tomorrow's my birthday. Aww. And so I've been looking forward to my birthday. And I'm hoping that this movie doesn't ruin my birthday.
There's a beautiful birth in this movie.
Okay.
No! So,
I hope that you were born much in the same way.
So in conclusion, fuck you guys.
Okay, real quick. Hey, has someone cried about your music before?
Yeah.
You like that, don't you? Yeah. You like it. You like it when they cry.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, let me see the skull fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You're about to feel something.
All right.
I'm about to feel something.
All right, let's wrap this up. I just want to say happy birthday, Spose.
Thanks, Kev. Thanks, Kev.
Let's watch a Serbian film.
Happy birthday to you.
Let's watch a Serbian film.
Happy birthday, dear Spose. Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to Speak All Evil, the podcast you were warned about. I am Vukmir. I am here with Kevin, Kat, and Dave. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Great.
Yeah. Deja vu.
We're doing something a little bit different this week. We just held the first ever Speak All Evil socially distanced, limited capacity, red carpet film screening event. The movie that we screened was a Serbian film, the highly controversial, extreme 2010, in my opinion, masterpiece. I'm speaking only for myself. We did that at Aphodian in Portland, Maine, and would like to thank Pat Corrigan, local arts legend, for letting us do that. We had a great time. The stars were out, the paparazzi was out, and we had a very, very special guest that we invited onto the program. You may know Ryan Peters. You probably know Spose. Take my name in vain and may not sell advice. Lyrically, I'll kill a guy. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Great, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Ryan told us that he doesn't like horror movies. He has only seen, up to this point, two horror movies in his life. If I recall, it was The Hills Have Eyes. And what was the other one?
Midsommar.
I didn't mention that, but I did watch Midsommar recently. But I've seen many more than two horror movies in my life. I just don't really seek them out or desire to see them.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's because it's reached such a trendy topic of conversation thing that I have to see it. For example, like, which I wouldn't really call a horror movie, but like Get Out. You know, like I've had to watch Get
Out.
That's
a horror movie.
You know, and then like Scream, you know, when I was like 11, you know, that was a very popular, you know, movie to watch. And then you know, I did go see The Hills Have Eyes on mushrooms with King
oh,
Leach.
Wow. Whoa.
And I also worked in a movie theater for a few years, so I'd catch like parts of horror movies, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh. But,
so,
you know, I've seen your basic horror, a few of them, but I think one of the ones that really traumatized me were The Hills Have Eyes, and I saw like 20 minutes of Devil's Rejects.
That's a pretty intense one.
Ryan is a good friend of ours and a friend of the program, a podcast colleague. He has the Spose podcast, a musical colleague, and we wanted to invite him into our world of depravity, misery, and see how he would hold up watching what many believe to be the most extreme horror movie currently in existence, a Serbian film. Ryan, you've seen it. We talked a little bit at the premiere. I think everybody was a little bit shell-shocked. You didn't walk out. There were no walkouts, which I'm frankly a little bit disappointed. I mean, if you don't have a walkout, what are you really doing? You made it. What did you think?
So me and Kat had never seen it, and we survived it. I do consider myself a survivor.
No, I mean, I will say, I just want to preface my thoughts on it by saying I was mentally preparing myself for this movie. For mm-hmm. you know, I knew for a couple weeks I was going to watch it, and so I was very scared. Just almost the fear of leading up to it was almost worse than the thing itself, I think. But the but overall, you know, I kind of armed myself with some tactics to help me get through the kind of more messed up stuff that I was seeing in this movie. And so one of them was, I just want to say this before I get into my thoughts on the movie. One of my tactics was to imagine the people filming the movie, the cameraman and the lighting and the grip and the, you know, the boom mic and kind of just to know that, like, look, this is just a movie. These things aren't, you know, and to kind of get me out of the trance. Another thing, when it really got messed up, I looked at Instagram for a minute. Cat turned around, but my tactic
was even worse.
yeah, I was like, oh my God, Instagram's horrible. I got to go back. And so that was another tactic. But the final one was I read a synopsis of the movie.
Okay. Mm. Well, speaking of synopsis, let me just set the table briefly. A Serbian film does two things that are common, not just in horror, but in all movies, really. It is a film within a film. So the title A Serbian Film refers to not just the movie that we watched, but the movie within the movie. It also does the time-honored conceit of the one last job. That is where someone is trying to get out of the business that they're in, and they've got one last job. It's going to set them up, and they're going to get out of all this stuff, and they're going to start a new life with a clean slate, a turnover, a new leaf, and they're not going to look back. They just have to do one last job. So this movie is about the most famous male porn star in Serbia. Mm. Okay.
I love that title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is the biggest male porn star in Serbia, but he wants out. He's tired of the porn life. He has a wife and a young son. He wants to clean up his act, get out of this business, and do something else. And he's offered a chance to do that by a shadowy figure named Vukmir, who is making a movie, an art porn movie. He's offering Milos a sum of money that is never actually, I don't believe the exact sum is revealed in the movie, but it's enough that he'll never have to work again. And that's the setup.
Yeah. I just want to say that over the last like decade, every time I go into the studio or I go into a gig, it's like, this is the last one. One last one. I'm gonna do
one
this.
Last
I'm gonna
job.
Go out big.
Doesn't
every
work
time.
Out.
Every time we podcast, this is the last job right here. I just want to do the. I just want to do the Spose episode, a Serbian film, and I'm out. That's it. I'm moving on with my life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Gutter's last jobs apparently never pay enough, so here he is again, doing the charity benefit.
The thing that I think that also helped get through A Serbian Film, because I put myself in your shoes, because I know you very well, Ryan. Like, you're very empathetic. You're a compassionate person. And I'm not even trying to compliment you. I think those are signs of weakness.
He wouldn't make it in Serbia.
I did notice
Lately,
that throughout the movie I had never seen the movie with dialogue, because I watched it like the day it came out, some pirated copy from Serbia, and I didn't see the subtitles. So it's the first time I'd seen the dialogue, which the dialogue was hilarious and very good, and we laughed. We were laughing through a lot of the movie.
That was another tactic, being able to watch it with you guys. It wasn't like I was just sitting by myself in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, it was... To be honest, this is the first time I've really hung out with anybody in months anyways, so it was kind of a joyful experience. Regardless.
But yeah, it was like going to the movies. It was kind of nice. Fodian is great.
And we shouldn't gloss over the fact that Kat had never seen this movie. And Kat usually fills the role of Spose on this podcast. Yeah. Where
somebody with morals and dignity.
Yeah, yeah. And then we drag her down. Yeah. We drag her down. So the question going in was how long either of you would last, if mm-hmm. both of you would even make it through the entire film, and you both did. give you guys a round of applause.
Thank you.
No,
I think
walkouts.
We deserve that. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I feel like
I feel like
we're closer now that we've been through this movie together. Will I ever watch it again? No. I'm absolutely never going to watch this movie again. I don't know how
Challenge
you guys have
accepted.
Watched it. Don't listen. Okay. I guess going into this podcast, I think after our first episode, you know, you guys were talking about a Serbian film when we were like ripping butts outside. And I was like, I'm never going to watch this fucking movie. It's never going to happen. And you guys were very supportive and I really appreciated that. And then comes along this fucking episode and Dave's like, well, we're going to get Spos on. So if you could come, that would be, I'd really love to have you there. But if you don't want to be there, that's totally fine. Blah, blah. And I was like, okay, if Spos is going to do it, I will come and also watch this film. And I'm very proud of myself. I definitely took some turns away from the, you know, away from the screen where I was like, oh, what's going on in the back of the Aphodian? It looks interesting. but it really, Trent has had said it so many times before. It really wasn't that bad.
Well, that
the
was my
things maybe.
That was my fifth time seeing. I've now seen a Serbian film 5 times.
You wear it like a badge of honor.
I don't.
Are you sure?
I'll explain that later. Kevin,
okay.
You own the Blu-ray. So if anyone has any,
like
if anyone has any explaining
up.
To do, I'd like to know why you own a Blu-ray copy of a Serbian film.
Like Ryan, one time he was giving us crap for watching a movie over and over again, and then it was revealed later in the episode that he had just watched this one like baby death scene on YouTube on repeat, which he somehow thought that was better, and he was exempt from this guilt or whatever.
That's why I'm hanging
shame.
Out on the sidelines here. I'm just waiting in the waiting in the wings. Look, like Dave, it blows my fucking mind that you watched this movie like the psycho you are the day it came out with no dialogue and no subtitles. However, I wanted to see this movie as well, and it was really hard to find. So the only way I could find it was to buy it. So I ended up buying a copy, having it shipped to my house. I do own the Blu-ray, but like 9 years ago, I loaned it to this kid that worked for me. So worst boss ever award for that year goes to me. This episode comes up and I'm trying to find a copy so we can watch it. And I was telling Dave, like the closest thing I could find was like $115 on like eBay. So I ended up texting this kid that worked for me. This is literally like 9 years ago, and just said, yo, any chance that you have Serbian film? And he literally showed up at my house like 10 minutes later with the copy that I'd given him all those years ago. And now he's like a super fan of the podcast too. So win-win. Well, I don't know win-win. Nice. I kind of don't want to own this film. I don't really want it in my house.
You glossed over ordered, purchased, and shipped to your house.
I don't think I glossed over it. That's a pretty
nobody
scandalous
I was scared to go through the airport
something.
With my laptop.
Huh?
I was scared to go through the airport security thing with my laptop after having watched it. I think I downloaded some torrent from the dark web or something.
It took
I just
me a
don't,
long...
What did you think was going on this whole movie if you had never seen... If you didn't know the dialogue? What did
well, you
think
you get
was
it.
Happening?
I mean, you get that he's a porn star from that very first scene.
Okay.
You get he meets with a girl. I didn't know that guy was his brother. I thought that guy was his friend.
Mm. The cop.
And that's pretty much every... Yeah, the cop. Other than that, I mean, I knew exactly what was going on.
I could just smell honestly, it. You'll find, you know, there have been situations where I've watched stuff that doesn't have the right language subtitled or something like that. It's really surprising how easy a lot of movies are to follow without language. You know, if you really are watching it and if it's good, particularly.
What I'm more curious about from Ryan and Kat's perspective, having seen it now, is content aside, what did you guys think about the quality of the film?
What kind of question is that, Kev? it was...
I'm just baiting.
What did I think about the quality of the film? It was shot
like
on decent cameras, and I mean, it wasn't like... it wasn't like B movie cheesy gore. Like all the blood and the murder and everything seemed realistic and looked good, like well done.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just so I will say, like, I'm glad I kind of like had these tactics to get out of the spell, the like hypnotic spell of the movie with like the soundtrack, which is very, you know, trancy, you know, to kind of get me out of it, because it'd be very easy to really be hurt by this movie, I think, and the things that happened towards the end. And I was trying to, from the moment, well, because I'm familiar also with like literature and film and the way that we are endeared to characters through actions throughout the movie. So right from the very first scene with his son, I decided I would not care about this child. You know, I was like, I will not love this kid. He's very adorable, but I will not be emotional about him. I will not love his wife. I will not fall for all these tricks that they do in this movie, where they try to get you to care about all these people. Yeah, these tricks of
more ways than
of
one
cinema.
Aww.
I thought the production quality was pretty good, because a lot of these horror movies you see, when you get into the more crazy stuff, the stuff that's banned in different countries, you usually end up getting something that looks really poor quality, sounds very poor quality. But this was great. And I looked it up, and it was made, it says, for like $1,500, but that can't be true.
What?
And
that's the total box office reporting.
That's the box office of Brazil. Only in Brazil.
It was only released in, well, I don't know if it was released in other countries, but the only country that reported box office earnings was Brazil. Allegedly, this director, he gets a lot of shit because I guess when shit was bad, his dad shipped him out of the country to go to film school, and he came back, and his dad is reported to be one of these guys that made money off all the bad shit that was happening in Serbia. So a lot of people in Serbia are pissed at him that he had the balls to come back with his daddy's money
after
and
not even really living through it.
Yeah, and then do this big, according to him, this big political statement about the country of Serbia.
That's a pretty heavy charge, Kevin. I don't know what evidence we have about. I don't know this guy. I don't know his dad. I don't know any.
You can't even say his name. Say his name.
Trent's a Serbian film apologist. Say his name.
It's like pretty.
I can't say it.
It's pretty
much all
consonants.
I can say
it's like one vowel. Erdanas
Bezosovic.
Vukmir.
No, it's like surgeon. It's Serd Jean.
No, that, I think that was good,
S-R-D-J-A-N.
Yeah.
Serd Jean.
Can you say that again, Kevin? I thought that was good.
Zordana Spasasevich.
There's no A at the end of his first name, though.
Yeah, it's not English, though.
Kevin, what wolf urine is Kevin drinking right now to gear up to watch a Serbian film again? He just converted it all to little DVD, little Sony Cam discs so he can watch it like he does in the movie.
Well, there isn't much known about the guy. I don't think that, like, having been to film school is an indictment of a filmmaker. I mean, if we don't have kids that go to film school, I don't know how many movies we have.
Probably wouldn't have been
I don't know who his dad was. I don't know what his dad did. I think that you can have been an affluent kid who went to film school and you can still make a movie. I don't think that is, you know, it negates anything that you might say in your movie.
I'm not indicting him or saying I agree with it. I'm just saying in the various articles that you read that you can find on the film, those are just some of the things that have come up. Yeah,
it's a charge you can find out there from within the country that people, understandably, probably there are people in Serbia that don't appreciate. He made a movie called A Serbian Film that features that kind of content in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I will just say my overall thought is I understand, you know, because there's that big monologue. It's like a speech he gives as he's drugging the porn star dude, Vukmir. Gives this speech about how this is, you know, it's this big speech about art and how it can, you know, speak to, you know, and so that's kind of like the crux of Trent's argument that this movie, it matters. I get that. I do feel that way after having seen the movie a little bit. But as I've thought about it, I just feel like the point could have been got across so much better if this was not done as a porn metaphor and instead done as concentration camps and murdering, you know, your neighbors and so on and so forth. So I feel like there's definitely, as much as I get the point of it, I do feel like it kind of missed the mark on trying to get its point across overall, clearly, as it's like banned. I don't know. I do think this type of movie can be important. If you can show life as it's as horrible as it possibly can be, mm-hmm. you know, to show people the reality. And I think we could use a movie like that in America, but I don't know that it needs sex and rape and rape and murder and incest and
we like children. Resurrect John Holmes and make the most fucked up porn zombie apocalypse movie.
I think that the polarizing quality of this movie and the shock, although it's not going to get to a broader audience, I think, Ryan, you're right that maybe it would have had more of an impact if even more was implied about the abuse and all that stuff, as it was a metaphor for the, you know, Serbian government. But I feel like if you actually do sit down and watch this movie, it resonates with you more because it's so shocking. For a viewer like me, anyway, that's the way.
But that's what horror to me, that's part of what the horror genre does, is that it uses extreme parables, extreme metaphors, extreme conceits. It doesn't give you a flowery, if there's a Schindler's, this is like, you know, it's not going to give you the Schindler's List treatment. It's going to, that's kind of part of the point. It's like we talked about black metal. Have anything extreme like that. And I don't think that this movie is necessarily trying to make a statement about the Balkan Wars or ethnic cleansing, but I think it's more about post-war Serbia. But either way, you know, I've been thinking about this so much this week, like I'm so steeped in this film now, having seen it so many times, and we've been talking about it for weeks. I feel like I'm starting to see everything as this movie, and like there's two kinds of people in the world. There's Milos, the porn star, who is sucked into this last job, and there's Vukmir, the filmmaker who manipulates him. So you're either Milos or you're Vukmir. Right now, for example, Spose and Kat, you guys are Milos. We're Vukmir. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Who is pulling the strings? Who is manipulating? Who is exploiting? Who is victimizing, most importantly? And who is the one being manipulated? Who is compromising themselves? Who is being victimized? Kat, we talked a little bit about, there's a whole speech in this movie about victimization. I'm not eloquent enough to re-give the speech, but the thrust of it is that the world runs on victimization.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to get into it, every transaction has a victim, has a Milos, has the people that Milos victimized, has the Vukmir at the top of the chain. And we talked about, and I felt, you know, honestly, like I don't think that it's a joke to ask somebody to watch something that is so graphic and depicts so much victimization. But I felt mm-hmm. like the movie was saying something serious, but I didn't think that it was just exploiting that for giggles, like some movies that I would consider that do that. Like I Spit on Your Grave, for example. I don't think it's saying anything. You know, I don't think that movie says mm-hmm. anything. I think it's just pure exploitation. What did you think of that aspect of it?
I mean, I definitely thought some things. I don't know. It was, I knew going into it that it was definitely going to be a hard watch for me personally. You know, we chatted a little bit, but it's like coming from like a background of, you know, like a person who's been through like childhood abuse, like this was absolutely a very difficult watch for me. While I agree that it was a very well done movie and there were absolutely plot points and, you know, this represents this and yada, 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 did they need to do all these things? I'm not sure. Would I suggest anyone ever watch this film unless they do some research on it first? Absolutely not. But it was the things that they were trying to get across were absolutely worth watching. Like, I appreciated what they were trying to convey. Could they have done that without most of the film? I think so.
Sure, you didn't have... sure.
What's that noise? Does anyone else hear that noise?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's my
it
furnace.
What's your furnace?
It yeah turned on, like, halfway through Kat's thing. You're probably going to want to mute my mic on this.
Suppose is handcuffed to a furnace right now, and soon
I didn't want to bring it up, but
his teeth are going to be removed with pliers, and somebody is going to
about that part.
Somebody is going to asphyxiate him with a penis and kill him. Is what's going to happen
about that part?
That's the cinema.
I have two questions for our victims here.
Sure.
One would be, do you think if you had watched this movie alone, it would have affected you much differently than having watched it in the group setting and sort of the circumstances that we did? That's question one. So go.
100%. Well, if I had watched it alone, one of my mechanisms to get through the movie was to joke about it with Kat and Dave Gutter. While Trent sat seriously on the couch and Kevin tried to not contribute to the joking or laugh so that he could... focus on the seriousness of it. I was like, that was one of my tactics to get through it. And I think overall, like, trauma and stuff like that that's happening to you even in real life is easier to get through when you've got people have been through it with you, you know. Mm-hmm. If you know, you're talking about like domestic abuse or whatever with your, you know, it's like, if my, I could talk about it now with my brother and my sister, you know, to like process it or laugh about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't funny, and if I had nobody to talk about it with, I don't know that I don't know how I'd turn out anyways. So I think overall, definitely watching it as a group, and like I said, I haven't really been with people for months, so it was kind of a celebration anyway. So I tried to look at it as a, I really didn't want to make driving to Portland and sitting through this movie a miserable thing for me, so a lot of it was attitude anyways.
Yeah, if I hadn't drank 9 Twisted Teas
Twisted
with you guys, it was definitely my comfort drink that I brought with me. I was like, you know, I just need something that's real, that I know I'm going to love the whole time. And I just need that crutch. yeah, if this was like a regular format where I had to watch it at home, like by myself, I honestly probably would have texted you guys and been like, I didn't watch this movie. I leprechauned
it wouldn't
this
happen
movie. Yeah. No.
I don't think that Kat and Spose would have made it through this movie if we weren't at the screening, if we didn't hold the red carpet event. And I was, frankly, it was a little like, you know, I thought you guys were a little cavalier about it. I was sitting back in the couch seat watching, and I'm thinking, oh, these guys are really yucking it up. I don't know if they're really getting all the points of this. Everybody's having a pretty good time here. They're cracking jokes. They're acting like it's Mystery Science Theater 2000. They're not getting the cinema.
So
that was intentional, yeah.
So question two, is there any chance that this experience opens you guys up, well, Kat, to more extreme horror, or Spose to horror at all?
I would say for me, yeah, if this is as bad as it possibly can get, yeah, it does open me up to other stuff. But for me, you know, I don't know that... I mentioned this the other day after we were just talking after the movie, but I think... this movie lacked a lot of the things that really scare me about horror, which is like jump scares and like things, you know, like you don't know. I hate to say it, but like, I know this movie includes maybe one of the most horrible instances ever of violence against your family, but like family home invasion type of stuff like messes with me way more than this, I think. Whereas this is almost like this fantastical scenario where these, you know, guys who operate with impunity can kidnap your family, and they bring them here and drug them, and they, you know, and they, it seemed almost unrealistic in that regard. So it was like, so I do think there's other horror movies that might mess with me more than this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
though they might not be as horrific as this movie.
Yeah, I'm way more scared about, you know, a movie like The Strangers, where three masked people show up on my doorstep unannounced, than I am about being killed by a penis in my mouth.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's like, I just think...
Took the words right out of my mouth.
And the penis.
Oh!
I a penis.
I won't even make the joke about the mouth.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, if this is the worst that I'll ever see, I mean, I absolutely agree that this is the worst thing that I will ever see.
I would ever. Hope.
So I'm glad we got it out of the way. But
me and Trent are working on a little project. we hope to outdo this.
Great. Can't wait.
Just, we'll call you in 3 days.
It only stars the two of us.
We'll call you in 3 days. Just be there.
That sounds good.
It's just us raping each other for hours. The 24-hour
It's called show. Paranoid Social Club.
Oh! There it is.
The Paranoid Social Club is actually a giant club.
The weird thing was for me watching this movie, and maybe it was the, you know, let's get a sponsor, shout out Twisted Tea. Maybe it was the Twisted Teas, but I was honestly very scared that I was just going to be weeping in front of everyone when the movie was going on. And I was like,
I was too. You know, I was afraid of that also.
I was like, I don't want, you know, we're close, but I don't need you guys to see me cry. You know, like, let's save that for, you know, a later episode. But
episode 100.
Yeah.
We've been trying to make you cry for 20 episodes.
Well, I cried. Well, and that's the weird thing is that, so I watched Killing of a Sacred Deer and was very upset about it and was literally sobbing afterwards. But in hindsight, the content is not, is absolutely not as bad. So I don't really understand why. I think it was the tea. I think it was the tea that really did me in.
You jumped in the deep end and maybe you'll be stronger for it.
Yeah. Thank you.
But, you know, one of the things that I think about with this movie is the layers of, like, when you watch a movie and you're kind of like, who is ultimately the victim and who's ultimately the bad guy? And, like, the transference of power and responsibility. It reminds me of, you know, we've been talking about the racial injustice that's been going on in this country and the fact that people are out protesting. And you have the president trying to get the military to attack the protesters. And then, so when you have a soldier, you know, go up to a peaceful protester armed with, you know, grenades or gas or whatever they have, it makes you wonder, like, who's the bad guy and who is the pawn and, you know, and who's the victim? And I think that what this movie is saying is that Donald Trump is the Serbian president that is, you know, causing everything. Everything goes back to the person who has the power and the person who's desperate for money for their family or whatever, the things that they have to do to get out of their situation. And in most cases, and especially when you're looking at the urban places where these people live in the ghetto, you'll do just about anything to get your family out of there. The line between right and wrong, the line between right and wrong and what's criminal and what's not, I mean, is blurred to you. Like, maybe you don't even think of yourself as a criminal, but if you were backed up against that wall and you had to do something, you'd do whatever it took. I know I would.
Mm-hmm. I read something. Yeah, so, that's a really good point. I read something. I think it was, maybe it was when we watched Carrie. I think I read William Catt, who was in Carrie and played Greatest American Hero. He said something about when he's preparing for the role of a good guy, all he does is focus on, you know, everything that's good. And when he's preparing for the role of a bad guy, he does the same exact thing because bad guys never think they're the bad guy.
Ooh.
Mm, interesting.
I meant to mention this the other day, but I couldn't think of it. There's this Neil Gaiman story called The Others, or Other People, rather. And it's a short story, and it's super... I read it once when I was working in the kitchen somewhere, and it always stuck with me. And basically, it's this guy goes to hell. You know, he has died, and he goes to hell, and there's an expressionless demon there sitting in the... you know, in the seat, and he makes him relive everything he ever did to people, you know, victimize, you know, basically everything he ever did. And then the demon gets up and leaves the room, and, you know, maybe 80-100 years have gone by in this process of re-showing him everything. The demon gets up and leaves the room, and the seat is empty, and the dude realizes, oh, now I go sit in the seat. I'm the demon, and some new guy walks in. and the cycle just continues. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how related it is, but it just reminded me of that concept of, you know, the cycle, the stories of humanity and history go back, you know, centuries, millenniums, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about, you know, this, you know, abuse of power or the leverage between any class or anything like that is it keeps perpetuating itself. In one moment, your gay people are fighting for their rights, and then women are fighting for their rights, and then people of color are fighting for their rights, but it's all the same fucking thing. So why do we have to keep going in this cycle and pretending like we're just going to pass this off to somebody else, when it should have been when the first person or the first type of people were oppressed for whatever reason and they got through that, it should have been over.
Yeah, it like, shouldn't oh, be like, yeah, that's like not different right. boxes to check. It's like you got a track list yeah. up and you're making an album and you're like, all right, we got the drums done. Let's move on to the guitar. I mean, it shouldn't be boxes mm-hmm. that we're checking. It should be one big fucking box that everyone's in, and we should check that shit off at the same time. I agree. I will say this about the end that you're talking about, Ryan. I do think that a lot of the point that the director was trying to make is sort of hurt by the final scene. I do think he loses a little bit of his ability to say that this isn't just a shock film because he had to throw in that very last scene. That, mm-hmm. to me, is a little bit... Okay, here we go.
The final scene is the most defining scene of the whole movie.
I think so too. I think do so you too. Not, I do think you, the rest
what
is,
do you think happened is in, what do you think happened in Serbia in the 90s? I mean, what do you think happens all over the world all the time? You know what I mean? Like the final scene of the movie is it's very grim, it's very sick, but I mean, I think that it's like when we were watching it, I wanted to make sure that you guys, that Spose and Kat didn't like get up and use the bathroom before that final, it's all, you know, even like just like the final, I guess I would say like the full minute. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, you got to have that.
You hear, you know, all these stories about, you know, the Eastern European human trafficking and, you know, child trafficking, pornography and even smut films and everything. And it's real. It actually happens, you know, and it hasn't been, there needs to be people marching in the street and trying to, you know, stop all that. But
who is the, who's the woman that was arrested? Who's the, I can't pronounce another name. I can't pronounce Jeffrey Epstein's wrangler was arrested by the FBI yes. today.
Ghislaine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about happening right here in Florida on a jet plane with rich guys who hang around Harvard and Bill Gates. I mean, it's not like some sort of far-fetched thing that people traffic in sex and abuse and kill and
children.
Murder and have sex with dead
yeah,
bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I said the other day, but I think America could really benefit from a movie as graphic and as horrible as this, but maybe even more... spell it out for people. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. need to be a metaphor. Like, this is really what goes on in this country. This is what this country perpetrates. You know, whenever I see anybody defending the flag, you know, I gotta laugh mm-hmm. because, like, that flag does only means that, you know, to, like, a few people here. Like, that's not what that flag means in half the countries in the world. You know, it's terror. It's, you know, and so it's murdering children and families and, you know, and for profit, you know, and so I think America could really benefit from a movie like that. I, to be honest, am detached from Serbia besides knowing, you know, about Kosovo and, you know, the, you know, Milosevic going on trial in The Hague and so on and so forth. I don't know, but I just don't have emotions attached to Serbia in that regard. So I really feel like America could benefit from a movie like this, perhaps. But I'm sure it would just get overshadowed by the level of depravity and violence.
Speaking of The Hague, that was my favorite things about the movie now are little things that it took me several viewings to pick up on. But when Milos and his wife are discussing this proposition of the one last job, and he says, I don't know, the guy's name is Vukmir. His wife says, Vukmir? Sounds like one of our guys at The Hague. And then, right? And then, like, it's not subtle at all, but I didn't get it until the fifth time. But then later on in the movie, Milos has his crooked cop. I think it's pretty well implied that his brother is a cop and not only a cop, but he's a crooked cop. He's not a good cop. He has him do some background on Vukmir, and he's giving him the scoop, like, okay, here's what I found out about Vukmir. His last name, also Vukmir. Vukmir. I've been thinking about it.
I wonder if Vukmir is a first name. You know, never trust a guy with two first names. Vukmir is probably a first name. It's probably like Steve.
That's right. His name is Steve.
My name is Kevin James Kenny, so I must be a shady motherfucker.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, the spelling, no. The spelling is good.
I do just want to say that as you recount those lines, Trent, I realize that his brother was lying to him.
That's an interesting question. When did his brother? That's what I don't know. Right.
So, his brother was in on it, right?
Was he?
But
though?
When did
but
he get in
time?
On it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. I think
maybe from the moment he starts investigating him.
That's what I think.
That's what Kevin's theory was.
I think Milo sent his brother off to be like, investigate this guy. And I think Vukmir was like, hey, you want in on it? And he was like,
cops are easy to pay off.
I already jerk off to my nephew's birthday birthday video. So, yeah, sure, I'm in.
I forgot about that.
No, but to take, let me take this real quick.
Come on, blow harder.
This question.
Blow harder, Peter.
Okay, to take this question back even further about his brother and when does his brother become complicit and how honest is he being, much earlier in the movie, Milo says to his brother, you're going to alienate me from my friends if you keep doing background checks on everyone. And his brother says, friends in Serbia? So that's kind of like a thing that runs through the whole movie. Like, what have you done? What were you involved in? Who are you? What's your past? What's your name?
And I thought,
what did you
I
do before this? Where were you? Where were you in the '90s? Where were you in the year 2000? What were you complicit in? Whose side are you on? What are you doing behind my back? How honest are you being? Like, it's powerful stuff.
And that's how I feel about cops and town officials in America in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They're all complicit.
They're just even better at hiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the cop is like originally his first background checking is just like as a hobby. He's just like telling Milos like about personal information about his associates and friends because he just looks into this stuff. He just likes to know everyone's dirty secrets and skeletons, and he tells them when they've changed drug dealers, and it implies information that. He's just out there on the streets digging stuff up about people.
Just casually letting them know that they've moved into a different genre of film involving donkeys.
Hey, Ryan, did Vukmir at all, the way he was talking about art, the way he was like, this is clearly like the worst type of expression that there is, but yet he's talking about art in this very high regard, or his art in this very high regard. It reminded me of like, you do features and I do hip hop sessions, but when you get with these guys and they're just like, dude, man, this is going to blow people's minds, dude. Wait till you hear this, man. This is crazy. This is the next level shit. And it's just some like auto-tune, like random shit.
And there's a bunch of guys there nodding like, yes. Yeah.
A newborn to porn.
No.
Newborn trap.